Welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you do for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Pennsylvania State Education Association and the Pennsylvania State Education Association's staff union. Yes, that's a union that has a union staff. I'm telling you, it's an awesome thing. Happens more often than you think. Hey, joining us today, we've got Mark McDermott. He is an economic justice and labor educator. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles.
Always a pleasure, brother. I got to ask, are you on the road? Where are you at?
I'm back in Seattle. I'm home today.
Oh, well, there you go. So, number of things going on. We've been talking a lot about the Republicans' lack of health care bill. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about union busting and what's going on with that and what kind of tactics they're using these days.
Well, let me start out. On June 12th, the U.S. Department of Labor announced that they were going to move forward with the repeal of an administrative rule that was put in place under the Obama administration that regulates union busters. It's called the Persuader Rule, but I call it the Union Busting Secrecy Rule. For years, union busters have been used to break unions and also to block union drives.
Right.
And who was doing it and how much money they were spending was kept secret. And the Obama administration, late in its term, put a rule forward that said this information needs to be made available to the public so that workers who are trying to unionize or trying to get a new contract can have access to information to find out who is assisting their employer in trying to bust the union.
Right.
So on June 12th, the Trump regime moved forward with, let's get rid of this rule, so that workers are not going to have the kind of information that they need to make more informed decisions about whether or not they want a union. This is the type of vicious anti-worker and anti-union activity that typically goes beneath the radar screen.
So,
and most, go ahead.
Mark, my question is basically what it is we have law firms that are out there that specialize in stopping unions from organizing a work site using tactics that are mostly questionable, morally objectionable, and oftentimes illegal.
Absolutely.
Threats, intimidation. Your wife has a really nice job over there at that other company, and I happen to have a friend on the board. What do you think would happen if you lost your job and she lost her job all at the same time? Does that sound familiar to you, Mark?
Yes, it does. 35 years ago, when I was a machinist working in a manufacturing plant in suburban Seattle, and I was on the executive board of my 4,000-member local, I went to work on a Friday morning. There was an announcement over the public address system in the plant that we were all supposed to assemble in the largest room in the plant. We all troop into the room, sit down. The owner gets up and says, I've sold the company. One of the terms and conditions of the sale is you're all terminated as of 3:30. An argument ensued, very ugly, unpleasant. They asked if there were any questions, and I got up and said, I'm the union leader in the plant here. Are you going to recognize the union? They read us our rights under the law. They told us if you wanted to apply for jobs with a new company, you could do so. You could sign up with the young women who were there to take your to sign you up. They marched us out into the plant. They searched all our toolboxes. They duct taped them up so we couldn't reopen them, marched them out, and then marched us out into the parking lot. And every one of my union sisters and brothers were unemployed by 3 o'clock that day. What they did to us at that time was completely legal.
Right.
Morally reprehensible, but completely legal. And the fight it took, it took 33 years from that date to get the federal government to adopt a regulation that says, tell us who is helping these companies bust our union and fire us, so that this sort of thing can be brought out into the light of day. And the Trump regime wants to take us back to the bad old days, in which nobody knows who's helping them, because it should be proprietary business information.
Right. This is but at the same time, those people that the company brings in under this proprietary business privacy can get your name, your address, any records that they have on your family, your health care coverage, so on and so forth, at will. And you have no idea who these people are that are getting this information.
You're absolutely correct.
They can show up at your house and make demands on you.
Right. As you know, another one of their tactics is what's called captive audience meetings.
Right.
In which the employer can legally force you to sit in a meeting while they, you know, talk badly about the union and about unions. And it's a form of intimidation. And they're trying to intimidate people around their right to cast a ballot in a secret ballot election, which is the foundation of democracy, about who do you want to legally represent you to advance your economic and political interests. Imagine if an employer pulled all their employees in and said, I want to tell you that you all ought to vote for Trump, or you all ought to vote for Hillary Clinton, and if you don't, bad things may happen to you. People
right.
would be completely outraged by that sort of intrusion into our political democracy. It is legal to do that in the workplace when workers are trying to exercise their federal rights to have a secret ballot election. What kind of a democracy is that?
It's not much of one. It's not much of one at all. And democracy in this case is being sacrificed for the economic benefit of some. Not all. But that's
right.
another story. Mark, we need to take a short break. We will come back and we'll talk some more. How's that?
That'd be great.
Fantastic. We're talking with Mark McDermott right now. He's an economic justice and labor educator. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids, healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60, because great things happen when we live united.
Donate, donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
It's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just gonna keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated.
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. Hey, today we're talking with Mark McDermott. He's an economic justice and labor union educator. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. You know, we're talking about union busters, and their tactics are pretty unsavory. You know, quite honestly, I can't think of anybody who I have less respect for than a union buster, other than somebody who deliberately goes out and tries to inhibit and depress other people from voting. So, but that's pretty much the same deal, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's there's voter suppression, you know, at the political ballot box. There's voter suppression in the workplace.
Right.
And the voter suppression in the workplace is more dangerous in some ways because it's not well understood and it's hidden from public view. And that literally thousands of people are fired every year and are eventually ordered to get their jobs back with back pay as a result of people going to the labor board, the National Labor Board.
Right. And, but Mark, but there's a caveat to that too, isn't there? For instance, if I get fired by my boss and my union files a grievance on that and they go through the procedures and they take it to court. But in the meantime, you know, 6 months later, I've got to go to work to make a living and feed my family. That boss that fired me illegally doesn't have to pay me for that back pay.
They can be required to pay back pay, but the problem is that if it takes 18 months or 2 years, and even if you're ordered to get back pay, what are you doing in the what are you doing for income during that long period of time?
Right.
And that if you've been fired from a job and you're going out looking for work, and your prospective employer asks you, "Well, why are you unemployed?" If you tell them the truth and say, "Well, I was fired," oh, well, wait a minute. Do I really want to hire you? Even if the firing is eventually determined to be illegal, it has an extraordinary level of intimidation associated with, oh, my God, you know, if I'm fired, I could go bankrupt. I could lose my house, probably going to lose my health insurance. It is a huge crisis, and it scares. All you got to do is fire a few workers, and everybody else gets very scared. Not everybody, but a lot of people get very nervous
right.
about, well, if it happens to them, what's going to happen to me? So it undercuts democracy at work in a very deep and profound way.
Absolutely.
I got some good news to report.
Cool.
Last time I talked on your show 2 weeks ago, I talked about the new farm worker union in Washington State. Familias Unidas con Justicia, that's Families United for Justice. It's the first farm workers union in the new farm worker union in the United States in over a quarter of a century. And they just ratified their first union contract with Sukuma Brothers up in Skagit County, north of Seattle, and 500 workers now have a union contract after a long four-year battle with multiple strikes, successful lawsuit around the employers stealing their wages to the tune of $850,000, and a national and growing international boycott to force the company to the table. And today, those 500 workers have a union contract, and they're on their way to close to $15 an hour with their first two-year contract. Huge win.
Fantastic. What kind of farming are they engaged in?
It's a huge berry farm. It's called Sukuma Brothers. They've been around for literally a number of decades, and they had horrible working conditions, horrible living conditions, and the workers stood up, and the community, the labor community, and other community groups stood with them for the last 3.5 years, and they won. It's truly inspiring to see this at a time when people say you can't win and you can't win big.
Sounds like they won big, and it's a stepping stone start for others in the same position.
All right, because the conditions in that farm are all too similar to farms all over Washington State and all over agriculture across the United States. It's one of the dirty parts of our country, in that the workers who grow our food are treated like they're less than human, and treated like their kids don't need an adequate income and adequate food and opportunities to go to school and get a good education and pursue their dreams. This is a huge step forward for all of those fights for justice.
Absolutely. This is definitely a win. Do they have plans to expand into other farms?
I have been told that they're busy working on that. They're not talking about where their focus is at the moment, because, as you know, if the employers find out, workers are going to get fired. And an important distinction here is that farm workers in the United States do not have legal protections and the right to organize a union and bargain collectively. So
right.
These workers have no protection. Workers in non-agriculture have protections. Protections aren't good enough, but in this case, they got no protection at all. So the ability to work in a secret way so the employers don't find out is critical. But they're getting calls from a lot of workers in a lot of different farms of come over and talk to us. So at some point, I imagine there's going to be new fights emerge, but they keep it quiet while they're building power so workers and their families aren't fired and driven out of their housing and literally pushed onto the roads.
Right. How supportive has the rest of the community been for them?
I did a workshop, a free workshop for them up at Western Washington University in early March. So we had 90 people there, 20 of them were farm workers, and we ended up raising $10,000 in support of them. The steel workers gave $1,000, the teachers unions gave $1,500, the firefighters unions, including their state council, gave $1,500. There were other unions that gave another $2,000, and then we raised $4,000 in cash from the 70 people who were not farm workers there. So we raised $10,000 in one night and handed it to them and said, this is going to keep your fight going because you're not collecting dues yet. And the most moving part of the whole night, and it brought tears to my eyes, was a farm worker came up, you know, still had his work clothes on, and he empties his pockets of his change and probably put $7 or $8 of change on the table. And that farm worker gave more of his disposable income than anybody in the room. And it sort of brought the place to a stop for a minute when people saw you give what you got and you keep giving because this is a fight for justice. And the the vice president, one of the state vice presidents of the farm of the firefighters union that has been actively supporting them, got up and said, this isn't just a fight for union rights. This isn't just a fight for worker rights. This is a fight for human rights. And our unions are going to stand with you until all of you have both your worker rights and your human rights. So, you know, we were having fundraisers down in Seattle. There was a national boycott that was put together. And it was, you are our brothers and sisters. You may be from a different place, but you're still one of us. Beautiful thing to see, very inspiring, and proof that if we find our common ground across our differences and respect each other, we can do a lot to make things better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, Mark, you know, these are the kinds of things that people need to hear about and talk about. Organizing is rarely easy. And even when it's easier, it's a long, hard slog. But I got to tell you, there's a special look that people get on their face when they come to the realization that they and everybody else they work with just voted a union in.
Well, I wasn't able to attend the victory celebration that took place at the Steelworkers Hall up in Mount Vernon, Washington. But they apparently almost lifted the roof off of the place celebrating what a lot of people said could never be done. There has never been a union for farm workers in that county in over a century. And the partying, all legal, but they were celebrating because it, yes, we can. As we say in the farm worker movement, si se puede, yes, we can.
There you go. Hey, as I am looking over Angela Bachman's shoulder, I'm looking at the TV, and it's being announced that the vote on the health care bill has been delayed. Gee.
This is a time where everyone in the United States needs to pick up their phone in the next 15 minutes and call their senator and say, stop this vote.
You know, Mark, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I really kind of almost feel bad for Mitch McConnell. I mean, he was getting ready to put $4 billion in slush fund money into every Republican's state just so they would he could buy their vote. But I guess that wasn't enough.
If I could make one quick comment here.
Please.
In 2016, 59,000 of our sister and brother Americans died from opioid overdoses. That's from, you know, drug overdoses. It's an all-time record. In Pennsylvania, there are 13 deaths from these drugs a day. That's over 4,500. And this bill, one of the things that it would do would be to do a dramatic cut in the drug and alcohol treatment programs to help these folks find their way back to a stable and healthy life. People will literally die from this bill, and that we cannot remain quiet, because this is happening in the big cities, in the suburbs, in the small towns, in the rural areas, and we cannot let this pass. Lives are truly in the balance.
Absolutely. Mark, listen, we got to get going. If people want to talk to you about labor and economic justice issues, how do they get a hold of you?
My website is markmcdermott.com. That's markmcdermott.com.
There you go, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks for the good news. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You take care, brother.
You too. Mark McDermott. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.